The Drives podcast is presented by Disability Advantage Group. Need help applying for Social Security, disability benefits? One call does it all. Call Disability Advantage Group at 865-566-0800 or visit dag-us.com.
5 o'clock, it is quitting time on your Tuesday. Russell Baird, Trey back with you. It's The Drive. Hour number three getting kicked off. All right, we got Parker Pewitt back. Top five at five. What you got for us, Parker?
Well, the U.S. have survived their first.
It's a final now!
They put
13-0.
That is a record, I believe, Trey, right?
Yes,
that we is call a that bending Thailand over a barrel and showing them all 50 states.
Here's a fun stat with that.
Oh, God. Here's another one?
Yeah, so we outshot them 39-2 today.
Oh, they did get two shots. That's
they
good.
Did get two
That's
shots.
A bit much.
And then we had 10 corner kicks and they had zero. So
it was like a Butch Jones era beatdown at the hands of Alabama where they're just piling on at the end. And you're like, enough! Mercy! Uncle! Make it stop!
It's like Bama playing Coastal Carolina.
Brutal.
All right, number two, Warriors believe Kevin Durant has torn his Achilles.
Oh.
Warriors GM Bob Myers said Durant will have an MRI on Tuesday to determine the severity of the injury, but sources tell ESPN that the Warriors believe the MRI will confirm an Achilles tear.
Hmm. Just awful. Hope for the best for KD. I mean, like I said in the intro, nobody can ever accuse that dude of being soft or not caring enough or anything like that after he went out there hobbled as he was in a series that many people had presumed was over, his team down 3-1, and played Kevin Durant basketball for about 10 minutes until he blew a tire. And now, I mean, that's an Achilles. That's going to be a year-long probably rehab. He might miss next season. Hope he comes back okay. That sucks, man.
All right, so number three, ESPN and Bleacher Report have both came out with the top 10 highest-paid athletes.
Yeah, I saw this.
How many do you guys think you could guess in the top 10?
Period? Like, what? Like, both?
Just in general.
Messi and Ronaldo are 1-2.
Yep.
Neymar.
Yep. Who do you think's 4 and 5?
LeBron.
LeBron's 8th.
Who's the guy who signed the Giancarlo Stanton?
No, he's not even on here.
Who signed the huge, like, $300 million deal in baseball? Does that not count
Bryce?
Yet? There are any baseball players
There's
on there?
No baseball okay. players.
Well, hell, I...
Football?
Number 4 is Canelo Alvarez.
Oh, okay.
And then number 5, you got Roger Federer. And then the first American sport-based player, Russell Wilson. With his new contract.
Okay.
And then Aaron Rodgers. And then 8, 9, 10 is LeBron, Steph, and KD.
Jay-Z beats them all.
LeBron, Steph, and KD. Top 10 highest paid athletes in the world. These are the guys you want your daughter to marry.
I just
Continue.
A penny on the dollar from each of them.
All right, number 4. Georgia announces that it will not sell alcohol in general seating areas.
Wait a minute.
At sporting events.
No alcohol, no beer?
We drank beer. I liked beer. Still like beer.
That's unfortunate. Sorry, Georgia fans. They won't need it. They won't need it. No. They can just sit there sober and watch their team kicking the crap out of everybody and enjoy it. We're the ones who need it in Neyland. I'm going to need a little libation to get me through this 2019 season, I'm afraid.
And last one, Vols sign transfer guard Victor Bailey Jr. from Oregon. Tennessee basketball coach Rick Barnes announced Tuesday that Oregon's transfer Victor Bailey Jr. has signed an institutional aid agreement with UT and plans to enroll for the second session of summer school.
Now, we were speculating an institutional aid agreement. Is that the same as a scholarship? I went back and looked at the Placevich release that UT put out. They said the same thing. So we were trying to, like, parse the words here and try and figure out, does that mean, is that, like, different from he signed scholarship papers? Could Bailey be, could they be putting him on hold in case they're able to get Kerry Blackshear, who's coming in on a visit this weekend, the highly touted grad transfer from Virginia Tech, doesn't look like the case. It looks like this is an official announcement, and Bailey is going to be on the team along with Plasvich.
Yeah, and Bailey,
my research.
He'll sit out next season due to transfer guidelines, but will be eligible to compete as a junior in the next season. So,
all right, there you have it.
That's all I've got.
Thank you, Parker. The Top 5 at 5 is brought to you by Jiffy Lube Knoxville. Folks, look up at the sticker. It's time, right? Many of you are way past the time on the sticker. You know the sticker, the oil change sticker in the top left part of your car. Check it out, folks. You need to get to Jiffy Lube Knoxville. They've got locations all over East Tennessee, 9 total, and 5 of the area Jiffy Lubes are Jiffy Lube Multi-Care facilities. Jiffy Lube Multi-Cares can handle most maintenance and mechanical issues your car has, in addition to oil changes. They could do tires. They're an authorized Michelin dealer. Tire rotations. They could do brakes. They can do engine swaps. They could do water pumps. Anything under the hood, they could pretty much take care of it at Jiffy Lube Multi-Care facilities. Find the location nearest you and download a coupon for $10 off your next visit at JiffyLubeKnoxville.com. That's JiffyLubeKnoxville.com. Remember that website so that you can go home and download that coupon and get to your closest Jiffy Lube to make sure your car remains in tip-top shape moving forward.
I'm trying to go through this and look. I'm trying to find the difference between institutional aid. It sounds like it's a financial aid agreement. Just
well, he's on scholarship. I mean, yeah. They said the same thing that they did for Plasevich,
right.
And Plasevich is obviously a key piece to the puzzle for them. So we'll see. Like I said, you know, I don't like speculating, you know, oh, this guy's out, man. They're going to get rid of him if Blackshear wants in. You know, the numbers will work themselves out. They always do. If Blackshear wants to come here, Rick Barnes will make it happen. And it's big boy college basketball. You know, somebody gets their feelings hurt. I'm sorry, but
get excited.
We're paying our basketball coach he's the third highest paid coach in the country now. And we expect to be competing for championships on a year-in, year-out basis. So that's the deal there.
Have to do what you have to do. Get the players in, then figure it out later.
That is the deal there.
I agree.
Well, I told you last week, Bear, I was giving serious consideration to renewing my fanship as a Chicago Cubs fan.
Oh, God.
Here we go.
I'm watching a lot of baseball. I've been watching a lot of baseball the past 2 weeks. And actually, it's my son, my four-year-old, loves it. I don't know if this is going to stick.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know if it's going to stick or not. We'll see. You know,
three-year-old in the era of like
four.
Four-year-old in the era, that's not that big of a difference. I mean, they're four-hour games. How does he hold his attention?
Well, don't watch the whole thing, but I mean – you know how four-year-olds' attentions are anyway, but he will sit there with me, and I'll just have, like, the Braves game on. And this is what's going to be hard about the Cubs is, and this is different since I stopped being a fan.
There's more than two teams on TV every day now.
Well, there's more than two teams, but the Cubs games are not on all the time like they used to be. Like last night, they were playing the Rockies in Colorado, and that game wasn't on. Like, I couldn't watch.
WGN's not on anymore?
No.
Well, it's because
WGN's on, but they don't have all the Cubs games. So – It's kind of weird, but all the Braves games are on, so that's what I've been watching, the Braves.
God,
who,
the Braves.
By the way,
leading,
I don't know if you guys
NL
follow,
East.
Are very good.
A one.
Pretty good team.
Ronald Acuna.
They still don't have a closer. They don't have a playoff-level closer.
Every time I turn around, Acuna is not – he hit a grand slam last night.
Yeah, but he's not a closer. They get him there.
Well, I was talking to Rusty Enzer earlier today. And Rusty tells me that the Braves farm system is replete with quality pitching. I don't know if closers or not. He says they got a lot of arms. Like, the Braves are getting set to go on a run, basically, according to Rusty Enzer. So, I don't know. I've been tweeting about it a little bit. I've been dipping my toes back into the baseball waters.
if you're going to claim him, claim him. I don't want to hear you talk about the Braves ever again. I don't want to hear you talk about any other team. If the Cubs are going to be your team, go to the wall with the Cubs.
No. You don't get to tell
me. You're a known bandwagon jumper.
I grew up watching both teams, and I think I'm
going to – You don't need to go through all your excuses.
Continue to watch both teams. You don't get a say in it. You got two National League teams. Okay.
I'm going to get little man a Yankees hat. When's his birthday? It's coming up, isn't it?
Well, we need some kindling for the outdoor fireplace.
Exactly.
Woolburn's nice, Bear. Bring that over.
Hey, Speaking of bandwagon.
Oh, I'm going to be a Yankees fan.
Like, I want the kid to grow up being a winner.
You lazy, man. Oh, Yankees fan.
You would never burn a present.
Who's the Yankees manager right now, Bear?
I have no clue, Russ.
They did their fans dirty yesterday.
You want to call me a fake fan? You don't even know who your team's manager is.
I'm not going to sit and watch a four-hour baseball game.
I haven't either, but I know who the – actually, I don't know who the Braves manager is.
Who's the Cubs manager?
Joe Madden. Boom.
Who's the San Francisco Giants manager?
I don't know.
What do you make of Mason Bumgarner?
I don't know.
Pretty funny.
But whatever that dude said to him about, if you don't want me watching the ball, go get it out of the river. I like it when trash talk doesn't even really make sense.
Yeah.
Well, that's most of baseball trash talk.
Like go get it. Like, what does that even mean? I don't know, but I like it.
Go get it out of the ocean, boy. Okay.
Go hop in a boat.
I do like how it lands in the bay out there.
That is pretty cool.
All the guys on the kayaks trying to swim
splash up,
jump in. Hey, if I asked you guys straight up, what do you think Jerry Garantano would be ranked out of all college quarterbacks, 1 through 160?
Right now?
Yes. Where He's would you?
Probably in the top 20 somewhere.
According to what?
In college football.
According to what?
Like, what do you mean?
Efficiency?
Quarterback rating, efficiency. No, yardage, touchdowns.
I'm talking total quarterbacks coming back right now that are ranked. College football starting quarterback rankings for 2019, the top 130.
But what is the ranking? Like, is it QBR or is it passing yardage?
You're just talking some about guy? The top 130 quarterbacks.
I put him probably in the top 30, I bet.
This is according to Athlon.
Athlon. Is that the one? Who's the one that you, the football magazine that you
I've
give me
I've got
me
Athlon
year?
Right here.
Which is the one you give me?
I gave you Street and Smith last year. It was terrible.
You haven't gotten me one this year.
I have not.
Where do you think Jerry Garantano would be ranked?
Out of 130 or so D1.
30s?
I would top 40, I'll say.
Number 35.
Mm-hmm.
Right behind Ryan Willis at Virginia Tech. Kelvin Hopkins at Army. The Hawaii quarterback.
Is Army going to have a good team this year?
They've had a good team, man. Yeah. Todd Monken has got them.
They're thinking about making a change up there at the service academies.
What kind of change?
That they don't have to go active duty as soon as they graduate.
I heard that. Huh. Yeah, they'll have, what, 2 or 3 years to go play in the NFL?
There have been a few over the years that they've, notably David Robinson with the Naval Academy, but they've done it over the years, but that could be a game changer.
Because you remember, like, Navy under Nuamataolo, they were just wearing Army out. They had, what, like a 10-game win? Army's won the past two against
them. They got religion up there at West Point, didn't they?
They turned around.
I thought it was pretty neat the way that game plays out every year. It's always fun.
Look, for the Garantano haters, and I know there are numerous out there, there's nothing – that I could say, or Bear could say, or Trey could say. There's nothing Jarrett Garantano could say. There's nothing Fulmer or Pruitt or Cheney could say that's going to change your mind. But I'll say this. You're just wrong. Like, if you think he sucks, like he's the worst quarterback in the SEC, he's not worth it. Like, that's just wrong. Jarrett Garantano, I believe, more so maybe than just about any other player. And he's very Crompton-esque in this regard. He's a victim of his rating coming out of high school.
Yeah, what was he? Was he the number one dual threat?
He was up there. He's a five-star.
He was in front of Jalen Hurts. He was in front of
Crompton was a five-star.
Yeah.
And so you sign a five-star quarterback, and you're expecting him to start as a true freshman. You're expecting him to be awesome, and that hasn't happened. And was he overrated as a five-star coming to high school? Probably. Yeah, definitely.
I don't think as bad as Worley.
But I just put my opinion is I just have an asterisk next to whatever we saw last year because it was so bizarre, the circumstances – the coaching he received, the offensive line play first and foremost that he received. Jennings was out of shape, didn't have a ton of weapons other than him in that wide receiver room. Running back play was fairly average.
Tight end play wasn't up to sniff.
And the defense wasn't very good either. So it's like whatever. If he is as bad as all the haters say he is, then Pruitt and Chaney would have gone out and gotten some. They would have signed another grad transfer. And there are only about a billion quarterback grad transfers that came out last year.
Do you think, though, it was worth it when it comes to potentially playing even like Keller Chris last year at times?
What do you mean?
Like, do you think that the way that the offensive line was playing, do you think Keller Chris deserved a little bit more time to try
to? Yeah, I mean, he came in and gave a spark in the Bama game. Garantano's getting his brains beat up.
What was the game where he came in and threw the interception and then it was done? Was that South Carolina or Missouri? We were in the game.
Missouri, yeah.
And he threw that pick six right before the half.
I think it was Missouri.
Yeah, it was Missouri.
It's just
– that was the one where that kid from Missouri should have been thrown out of the game when he tried to kill Garantano on the first
play. We didn't even kick the tires on any of those grad transfers. And Chaney was here. We did not kick the tires on anybody in the spring. Maurer and Shrout never got any sort of a look. There's no pushing. This is Jarrett Garantano's team. He's the quarterback.
Yeah.
I agree
with that. Yeah.
Nobody's getting another. It's not like, oh, man, if he falters, you might see Shrout. No, man, this is his football team. He's going to be your quarterback this year.
But don't you think that they also have some – they trust in a sense of what they have for the backup spot?
No, I don't. That's why they're recruiting two guys right now.
For right now, you don't think they trust what they have with Shrout and Maurer?
No, I don't think we know what we have with those guys. Okay. I mean, like, I'm not teeing off on them. I just think it's like they haven't played yet. All we've heard is Shrout has a big arm, and we saw Maurer spark a little bit in the spring game, but it's a spring game, and he ran around like they look all right. But nobody – and, Trey, you're over there. You see practice. Nobody over there is saying – like, we don't even know who the backup is between those two guys. Like, neither one of those guys have separated themselves. Maybe that'll happen in fall camp a little bit. I'm sure they want to have a defined plan in case anything happens to JG as a backup they stick in there. But we haven't even heard anything about this guy is stepping out and, man, he might – push Garantano later in the season. None of that, man. Like, we got Jared Garantano. We're going to try and sign two studs this year, hopefully Harrison Bailey and Haynes King. And if they can come in as true freshmen and beat out a fifth-year Jared Garantano, that's great. But if not, we'll roll with Garantano again in 2020. And then presumably you'd be ready to roll in 2021. You would hope by year four that you're going to be – competitive.
And this is a question that needs to be asked too. Tennessee fans can't be scared of potentially having to go to a redshirt or a true freshman quarterback either. Like, they get a little nervous.
We can't throw a freshman out there. If our offensive line hasn't improved greatly this year, I would not want to throw out a freshman out there.
I'm just saying other top programs around the country, they don't have a problem throwing freshman quarterbacks out there on the field.
They don't have
– But we're not a top program right now.
We've recruited 260-pound linemen for several years.
I understand that part, but also sometime or another you might have to take a risk in the next 2 years here.
Yeah, well – So you're talking about like King and Bailey specifically?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean if those guys show up and – I mean, it's going to be quite the disparity from experience. I mean, like Garantano, and who's to say? Who's to say if he pulls a, you know what, I've been here 4 years, I'm just going.
And if I last year,
if I have to play in the grad transfer, or I go play in the CFL or the XFL or something like that, get paid rather than stay here and risk getting beaten out by a true freshman, that might happen. But if it doesn't, and he comes back as a fifth-year senior, and you've got two true freshmen, Maurer and or Shrout, in there, that's going to be such a disparity in terms of – think of all the experience he's going to have at that point.
Agreed. I agree with that.
Of probably 20-plus starts, 5 years.
But I also look at it and know that Tennessee needs competition at quarterback, man. Like, they need the studs to come in here and be able to play and be able to play immediately, man, because that's one thing that's missing. I'll be real honest. I think Garantano goes through the whole spring this year knowing that he's the man and knowing that he doesn't have any competition right now. What's that? I mean,
hell, if I'm Garantano, I look at Pruitt and I'm like, yeah, go ahead and throw one of these freshmen in behind this Swiss cheese line. See how long they last.
I don't think that's going to happen. I think they've given him the keys, and they're going to ride or die with Garantano right now. Brian makes a great point on Twitter. He says, I remember all the same things said about Crompton before Chaney coached him in whatever that was, 2009?
Yeah, that would have been the Kiffin.
Yeah.
The Kiffin and Chaney when they completely –
they just
tailored the offense to his skill set.
And Garantano is getting maligned by a small but vocal segment of the fan base right now. It's nothing compared to what Jarrett Garantano was getting in 2008 and 2009, and especially after he threw three or four picks against UCLA in 2009, and people were like, get him out of there. He stinks. He's awful. But Kiffin stuck with him.
Who was his backup?
Oh, gosh.
Nick Stevens? In 09? Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Huh.
People are like, get him out of there. And Kiffin stuck. He's like, no, he's my quarterback. And Georgia came in here, whatever it was, fourth or fifth week of the season. And people are like, oh, my God, like, we are absolutely going to get destroyed by Georgia. And Kiffin told people, a good story here. Kiffin told people behind the scenes the week of that game. He said, you watch – Jonathan Crompton is going to be SEC Player of the Week this week. And people are like, the hell is he smoking?
No.
SEC Player of the Week? Like, if he throws less than three interceptions, I'll be satisfied. He came out there and torched them through for about 350 yards and four touchdowns. Destroyed. Took Willie Martinez's defense and carved him up like Swiss cheese. And
that's when Tennessee players, they all were on the sideline going crazy. Yeah. Got the 15-yard penalty that game.
Yeah, I mean, he had a great season.
And then we turn around and Butch hires him as our DB's coach after that. Him and Jancic. Yeah. Jancic was on that staff.
Here's what Butch Jones did. And I'm not I like Jancic and Martinez. I think they're competent SEC football coaches. By no means are they masterminds, and they were out of their element here. But what Butch Jones did. At Georgia, Willie Martinez was Mark Richt's coordinator for like 10 years.
Yeah.
Since they were college roommates, got there, and Jancic was the linebackers coach. Martinez was the DC. Jancic was underneath him.
Mm-hmm.
Butch hires Jancic to be the defensive coordinator here and Martinez underneath him. So, like,
More about the incestuous relationship.
Yeah. Never mind the fact that you're hiring two retreads, but you're giving the coordinator gig to the guy who wasn't the coordinator. It's Butch Jones for you.
It's critical.
Stay with us. The drive continues. We'll find out who's on the docket, brought to you by Disability Advantage Group, coming up next right here on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
The Drive's podcast is presented by Disability Advantage Group. Need help applying for Social Security disability benefits? One call does it all. Call Disability Advantage Group today at 865-566-0800. Applying for disability can be very tedious. Having an experienced attorney on your side makes it easy. Call Disability Advantage Group, 865-566-0800, or visit online at dag-us.com.
At 865-566-0800.
or visit dhe-us.com.
Alvin Smith still having trouble with the bottle. Really sad story. He's arrested last night in Kansas on suspicion of driving under the influence, the latest offense for the talented but troubled former 49er and Raider. He's 29 now, arrested after police in Mission, Kansas stopped his vehicle for a traffic violation. He's issued a citation, picked up by a friend. He's had several run-ins with the law, arrested on DUI charges multiple times in the past, and has been out of the league after numerous violations of the league's substance abuse policy. So Alvin Smith continuing to battle those demons. Former Florida football staffer Otis Yelverton will not face cyber-stalking charges against his former girlfriend after being arrested in April. The Alachua State Attorney's Office declined to press charges against Yelverton, who had served as Florida's Assistant Director of Player Personnel. He's arrested, remember, on the docket a couple months ago, April, and charged with a third-degree felony. Says, I am vindicated. But here's the problem for Florida. Yeah, they said this girl said he'd been stalking her, sent her all these threatening voice and text, you know, messages and all this stuff, and threatened to blow up the woman's vehicle, like crazy stuff. Yeah. And here's the problem. He's on Dan Mullen's staff. Did they fire him, Trey?
I thought they suspended him without pay.
So what do you do?
Folks I heard from down there, that this guy was absolutely bonkers.
I mean, you can't have him around your pro. I'm glad. Good for you. You did it. Technically commit a crime. You're not going to prison, but.
You still can't work around college kids.
Yeah. I mean, imagine the recruiting pitch against that. You want to go to Florida where they had a couple of serial killers? Tony Joyner, Aaron Hernandez, Chad Smith was on that staff. Their current director of player operations threatened to blow up his girlfriend's car. You want to send your kid there? Yeah, you can't have that guy on your staff.
Go Gator.
It's pretty bad.
Drew Brees and his wife, Brittany, are suing a jeweler from La Jolla, California, claiming he misrepresented the value of diamonds and defrauded him out of $6.7 million.
Yeah. It's been going on for a while now.
Yep.
It's a lot.
He testified yesterday that diamonds he invested in were shown to him in settings that changed their color. Civil lawsuit filed in San Diego accuses jeweler Vahid Moradi of breach of oral contract, fraud by intentional misrepresentation, breach of fiduciary duty, and fraud by concealment. Brees testified Monday that he had never had the opportunity to see the diamonds removed from their settings. In court, he said he held the diamonds after they were removed from the settings. And
I mean, what did he claim? The gold was making him look yellow?
He said, they look nowhere near what they look like in those settings. They're much more light, much more faint. In fact, the blue diamonds look like they're a white diamond. He said Vahid had become a good friend, became somebody that he referred to his family and turned other friends on as well, the Saints, to buy diamonds from him. The defense argued the diamonds are a good investment and explained the difference between wholesale diamonds and retail diamonds to the jury. Have you ever read up on the like De Beers, the Diamonds Racket?
Oh. Yeah. You know they're not that rare.
No. They have a value of like, they should have a value of like $20. Diamond ring for like, a nice diamond ring should cost you like $50, $70, something like that. But the De Beers company, like they own all the diamond mines. And so they have monopoly.
Yeah.
They just have the entire market cornered. I found that out. I was so mad.
Oh, about the diamond you got.
About the diamonds I got. Yes.
I mean, many of you
for the rings, plural.
How many diamonds did you get?
I mean, the standard amount. Like, not nothing.
He's a big baller when it comes to the old lady. I don't blame you. Talking about a classy.
I mean, we didn't go cubic zirconia. I'm not like
QVC.
I'm not going up to Jacobs or wherever in New York and like, oh, here's a $100,000 rock. But a substantial portion, you know, I'm I'm going to buy something nice.
Suitable.
You're agitated.
Something that symbolizes the love and deep affection that I have for my wife.
How many diamonds would you get Tennessee then?
I get them a couple of cubic zirconias and I pull out of the that you know that machine with the claw that comes down at Food City and I use that.
Oh.
Check this one out. Greenville, South Carolina.
Great place.
Frustrated by what she believes was bullying of her third grade son, Jamie Rathburn entered Greenbrier Elementary School and emotionally confronted his classmates. She left the scene and was arrested 3 days later, charged with disturbing schools and booked into the Greenville County Detention Center before being released on bond. Rathburn regrets her actions, but remains concerned about bullying for her son and other children. Apparently, she went in, and they caught this on video at first, 6 minute, 44 second video rant.
Oh, my God.
She confronted a group of kids estimated to be around 9 years old. She was the class mom, so people knew her, and she was able to walk in there. She said she wasn't sure which boy she was looking for, so she just addressed, like, the group. You find this deeply amusing.
You all sit down Indian style right now.
Well, we don't say Indian style anymore. That's very offensive. Right? Okay. It's crisscross applesauce.
Okay, crisscross applesauce.
Did you know that, Bear?
We got some talking
to do. Can't say
to do.
Indian style anymore.
Really? I didn't know that. I'm sorry.
I know.
I still say it.
Yeah, me too.
It's just grown in. What if she gave like a nice long lecture? You know what I mean? I wonder if the video has audio on it because I would really love to hear
what
she
was saying.
She
tore into these kids, evidently.
Then how'd she go 3 days at the get without getting found by the cops?
I don't know.
Hey, you remember that lady?
I mean, I don't think she assaulted anybody, but I think she massively overstepped her bounds.
You picking on my son? You picking on my son?
Bear, I'm surprised she even made it into the school.
Bear, have you ever had a moment like that where you have to, like, you want to go see your kid bullied a little bit and want to say something?
Yeah, I mean, it's a long story. Junior got shoved off the top of a slide.
Oh, no. At school?
Yeah, and it ended up with a trip to Children's Hospital that night for a CAT scan.
I can only imagine. I can only imagine the bear storming into the elementary school the next
day. I didn't storm in. I was there at 5:30. This happened on a Friday. And then I was there at 5:30 a.m. waiting on the principal at the front door Monday morning. They didn't follow any.
Can you imagine?
No, that's right. I didn't storm in. What do you take me for? Some kind of psycho?
Yeah. Just had my cup of coffee sitting out there waiting in a lawn
chair. I was waiting,
man.
I had some questions. I want to know why. I didn't get a call.
Oh.
At all. He had hit his head, and then apparently he'd hit his head. He fell. He got sent to the clinic with two kids. Got dizzy on the way and fell again and hit his head against a locker. And then we were at my mom's. I was getting relieved because that was back when I was still working nights. I was getting relieved to go to work. He's going to hang out with my mom. And he's like, I've been sick. This is like when he was in like first or second grade.
He's
a little guy. And I was like, you know, he told me he'd gotten sick in the sink. And I was like, well, did you eat something? He goes, no, I've been feeling funny since I hit my head twice earlier today.
And I was like,
okay. I called into work and threw him in the car, and the children's we went.
So you were more mad at the school than the other kids?
Yeah.
For not reporting it.
Yeah. Now, flat out, though, if I'd met the other kid's dad, I'd be like, look, man, tell your kid he ever touches my kid again, I'm going to kick your ass.
You're going to kick your ass? Yeah. You would assault the father?
Yeah, I'd mash him. Yeah,
you imagine never see the principal coming. Getting out of the car, sees Bear sitting there, like turns right back. Nope,
just pummeling some other adult in the parking lot.
Yeah.
Well, no, I mean, I wanted to have a conversation with him. Very calm, and you know, as calm as I was. I mean, I'm not going to act like I wasn't trying hard to maintain my composure, but
to the other dad. Heard your son was talking that ish.
Yeah, it's a hard one, man. The whole bullying with your kids, because I had like. Out and out, but you know how kids are, man. Like they, you know, they gang up and pick on each other and stuff. But
I used to beat up my little brother's bullies.
Really? You're that guy. You go in. Were you the oldest?
Yeah, by 5 years. So that we were all in the same school.
How many brothers?
I have two.
So you're the oldest of three
five
boys?
5 and 6 years.
Just like me.
Yeah. I took care of the brothers.
Yeah?
I knew they were getting bullied on. Okay. I'll go stop by the classroom.
I had no choice. My little brother had a loud mouth. But I love him. And he's literally like the funniest person I've ever met in my life.
Did you have to go bail him out?
Oh, constantly. Constantly. It still causes problems to this day. I mean, we're damn near like Noel and Liam, man. I'm serious. Like, he'd run his mouth and run his mouth. And he's funny as hell, but he pushes
even
it.
Even today, like, and you're 50. How old is he?
11 months and 20-something days younger than me.
You guys are both 50 years old, and you still fight like little boys?
I wouldn't say like little boys. I mean, there's going to be at least two fights on this family beach trip that we're all going on.
Oh, you're going
really?
As a family?
Yeah, like 20 of us. I'm telling you, it's like my nephews. I mean, this is a known – they grew up down the street from you. That collection of hotheads that you saw, and you've seen how big those boys are.
Imagine them rolling in on the beach town.
You get along with your brothers now, don't you?
Yeah.
I get along with mine.
You just said there are going to be two fights in your beach trip.
Oh, sure.
That's not getting along fine. You're 50 years old,
Bear.
There is one brother I'd like to beat the living hell out of every now and then.
Everything's fine until nobody messes up. Mine and my brother's my second niece. She's dangerous. Nobody messes with her. She had, what, one older brother and three younger brothers. I mean, she's hit one of them over the head with a baseball bat before.
Bear's family starts driving into town like the local beach residents and the shop
owners. Oh, boy.
Close up the shop.
There goes the town.
No, like, we already know. Like, we have to plan out who's riding with who.
I would imagine, yeah.
All right, so you guys are doing like a convoy of cars?
Yeah, we have to. There's like 20 of us.
20?
Yeah.
Who are you riding with?
By myself.
By yourself? Nobody rides with the bear?
No.
Really?
No. I got one nephew.
It's a long trip. You're going to South Carolina. It's a 7-hour ride. You don't want anybody in there with you?
No. One of my nephews.
You might let one of the cool nephews ride with you.
No, I mean, they're good boys, but they'll, you know, I might let one of them ride for a while.
So the rest of the convoy will stop and use the bathroom, and you'll just
keep
going to make them catch up.
Do
you
have planned stops? Do you stop and eat at, like, the same place and stuff?
Yeah, usually, I mean, when you pull off an exit, and there's, like, 15,000 places to eat.
No. He's asking, do you map it
out? Well, see, that's the other thing. That's the other thing. I don't like to stop.
See, that's what I'm getting at. He doesn't stop. He makes them catch up to him.
I'll go ahead and get on down there and get the house opened up.
Seven or 8 hour trip to South Carolina coast. How many times are you stopping?
Once, maybe.
I mean, that's not insane. I've done that before.
Some cream cheese and chives crackers, maybe a Slim Jim, a Pepsi, in one of those small containers of Chips Ahoy.
I made it from Knoxville to Mobile without stopping once a couple weeks ago.
Put a Lip Ripper in, and I'm ready to roll, baby.
A Lip.
I've got three concerts already ready to go. And
my God. You've already planned out what you're going to listen to.
Oh, yeah. Live at Main Road from 95.
It's a little OCD.
MMJ, Live at the Fillmore, 2006.
When was the last time you went on this long of a road trip?
Driving?
Last year?
Oh, no. It's been a long time since I've driven this far.
Are you nervous?
Why would I be nervous?
Because it's been a long time since you've taken a long road
trip. No, it's just boring, and I know that, you know, my back's going to be screaming by the time I'm down there.
That's why you got to stop, man. I did that last week. I went up to Johnson City, and I was fine that morning. And in Johnson City, not a long ride. It was like, what, two hours or something up there, 2 hours back. And I was in bad shape last week.
Oh, I know. But my problem is I've got to push through it, because once I stop or – you know, get out and move around, sometimes it makes it worse.
Once you break the seal once, you got to stop three or four times as well.
No, I mean, breaking the seal is not the problem for me.
That's why I don't stop. I just don't stop.
It's my back and neck.
So you just don't pee?
Rolled into Mobile with 15 miles left in my tank. I filled up in Knoxville, rolled into Mobile.
How long is Knoxville to Mobile?
I hope they're not listening right now. Usually it should take you around 8.5 hours. I made it in 7.
Wonder what the longest stretch Big Josh has driven.
You have to ask him next time.
I mean, think about it. He goes, what, to Spartanburg twice a day?
That's insane, man.
The Docket is brought to you by Disability Advantage Group. You can check them out online at dag-us.com. disabilityadvantagegroup.com. Disability Advantage Group. We're talking about Social Security disability insurance. If you have a condition, an injury, arthritis, some sort of situation, chronic pain issue that prevents you from working, prevents you from earning, you may qualify for disability. Now, it's difficult to get on to disability. There's a lot of hoops that you have to jump through, as there should be. You don't want people gaming the system. But it takes a long time to get on disability. There's a lot of paperwork, a lot of medical documentation that they need. And if you mess any of it up, if you dot the wrong I, cross the wrong T, it could set you back months. And this is difficult when you can't work and you can't earn. So you need somebody that has experience helping people obtain the compensation they deserve. This is where Disability Advantage Group comes in. They've got years of experience helping clients all across America get on disability. If you want to see if you qualify, if you've got any questions, you can call them. It's a free consultation. Doesn't cost a dime. 865-566-0800 is their number. That's 566-0800. And their website, again, dag-us.com. That's Disability Advantage Group. Coming up, we've got some individual honors starting to roll in for a couple of Tennessee football players. We'll walk you through that and get set to wrap up the show. The shocking conclusion of The Drive coming up next right here on Fan Run.
The Drive.
You getting used to this three-hour deal, Trey?
Look, Kings of Leon by Bear. I like it.
Is that what this is?
Yeah.
Extremely surprised that Trey knows that, given what you've told us, what limited information you've given us about your musical
taste. My musical taste, bro. Ooh.
Just threw down the gauntlet. Now. Your musical tastes are good?
This is Mechanical Bull album. Oh, so good.
Bear and I are kind of music snobs. I don't know if you've noticed this.
Extreme.
Yeah.
We'll pick apart your selection. Don't do that. Don't
that's
do that.
Good music on the playlist.
I can't sing. You can't sing. Don't do
I
that.
I can sing.
No, you can't.
No, I can't. Really,
sing.
Really, you can't.
I will break. Okay.
What do you got on the iPod, Trey? Are you comfortable letting me look through your music list?
All right, let's do this. We did this with me. Yeah. What's the most embarrassing thing you've got on your?
The most embarrassing.
Because I've held back on Russ. There's a couple acts.
Oh,
on
I know what it was. When Chance and them were getting on to me about Mr. Holland's Opus actually being a pedophile. I went back and
the hell are you talking about?
I went back and downloaded that song at the end of Mr. Holland's Opus.
A beautiful boy. The John Lennon.
No,
song?
The American Symphony that he did at the end when he performed with all of his former students at the end of the movie.
It's been so long since I've seen
that movie. At the end of the movie, they celebrated him, and then they brought back all of his former students, and he did his American Symphony that
great
he
movie.
Wrote.
Beautiful
well,
movie.
I didn't know that I got pointed out by a bunch of different listeners and Chance and others that he was maybe a little bit of a freak.
Oh, the real Mr. Holland?
You remember, Rich,
oh, I didn't know.
He remember he was trying to
I didn't
go,
know that,
he,
but he, now you're ruining the movie.
Yeah, I know. I wish I'd never
he
heard
kissed,
this.
He kissed that high schooler that went off to New York. Remember the girl that was in the play?
No.
That she wanted him to go to New York with him and leave his wife and his deaf kid. And he decided not to, but they kissed and he was about to get on the bus and go to New York with her and run off with the 17-year-old girl.
It killed me.
I was so mad. I was so mad at them because I loved Mr. Holland's Opus.
Yeah.
And they screwed me out of it because now every time I watch it or I see it on TV, I just think, dang it. He was trying to take that 17-year-old girl to New York.
Hmm. Yeah. I guess when you put it like that.
Thanks a lot, Chance.
It's not good.
I don't know. I've got some Bastille, some Ryan Adams.
What do you want to confess to, Bear?
Oh,
awful music
through
on
it.
Your phone.
I was looking through it the other day. I mean, right now, you know what it's been for about the past 3 weeks.
All Oasis.
Yeah, I got Tay Tay on here.
And I don't think that's.
Well, no, that I mean, they were one of the top five bands ever.
So, what's the worst thing you got? I got your Better Than Ezra on mine, Trey.
Oh, good, good.
It was Roberta good. Flack.
What did she do?
A theme from Mahogany, Killing Me Softly.
What was that song I sent you last night? Did you listen to that?
What song? You sent me a song?
I sent you and Reek, Paul Moriat, he's French, Love is Blue, 1968. I was watching Mad Men, Me and the wife are watching the Mad Men. It's an instrumental. Everybody's heard this one. It'll pick up here in just a minute.
Yeah, I knew.
Great tune. Great tune.
I've got Harry Styles on my...
No, you didn't send that to me last night.
I didn't?
No, but I've heard that song. It's a beautiful song.
It's a great
song. It sounds horrible doing it like that. Please stop.
How about Harry Styles?
It's pretty good.
It's Harry Styles, man.
No, I mean, it's
I'll roll with this.
Well, I'm not really down with it, man. It's hurting my ears.
It's a good tune. Paul Mauriat. What is this? What is it? The hell is this?
That was Harry Styles.
No, yeah, that's don't ever do. No, don't ever play that again.
All right, Bear, what do you got? Come on, we both confessed.
I told you mine.
What
you
was
know
it?
My Roberta Flack. I mean, I've got some.
What
Donna
did she
Summer
do?
I don't know who the hell Roberta Flack is.
What does she do?
You remember the song that the Fugees covered?
No,
Killing Me Softly.
No, I have no idea. That was her song.
Yeah. Originally.
All right, well, this is a
I've
great
got
segment
Sean
right
Mullins
here.
On my iPod.
That's got awful.
I've met him several times.
Good guy, right?
Great guy.
I got horrible, lit at horrible. His show in Mobile.
But that was a hell of a time.
It was a great concert.
Oh, really talented guy and a veteran.
Yeah, great song.
Is he really?
Yes.
No, I won't throw off on him anymore.
Sean Mullins from, I believe, from Atlanta.
Yeah, somewhere around, yeah.
He did that song, Lullaby.
Gulf of Mexico. But that album, though, was good. Like, Lullaby, everybody makes fun of it because it's
he's a really talented guy.
But they got songs like Twin Rocks, Oregon, Gulf of Mexico on there.
Yeah. But I could see how that would be a guilty play. It's like something.
But
it took some guts to admit that. Like,
Lullaby.
Bear was going to come up. Like, you're lucky that I came to your defense on that. Otherwise, you might be getting killed right now because Bear was ready to kill you.
I was ready to kill him. I was ready to kill both of you until you mentioned that he was a veteran.
Yeah, now you feel bad, don't you?
Yeah, a little bit.
Coming off on a veteran like that.
Oh, no, I think I might have the one.
What you got?
I don't know if I...
Go ahead. You got you now. Just say it. Just say it. Just say it. Say it. Say it. All right, show it. You can't even say it. Show it. Show me. Show me.
Oh, no.
Which one is it?
The green,
Moses
the green one.
Boy
the
meets green. Girl. What is this?
You remember that song from Three Men and a Little Lady?
Oh, my God, Trey.
Waiting for a star to fall.
I see some Maroon 5 there.
Here's a great one.
A little Maroon 5 there.
I love this song.
From Willy Wonka?
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Yeah, that's something I jam out to.
Wait. Did you buy that?
No. I've got Apple Music. Eating as much as an elephant eats.
Right, yeah, but you had to download that, though.
That's kind of weird.
You like walking around your house to this song?
Yeah, I played it at times. That used to be the last call song at a bar I worked at. We just played that.
Really?
Yeah, everybody knew they were conditioned. You hear that song, head for the door.
Wow. Okay.
All right. Wrapping up the show here.
It's completely off the rails.
Tennessee placing a couple of players on Phil Steele's preseason All-SEC team.
Woohoo.
Daryl Taylor.
Yep.
Of course, had 8 sacks last season. Preseason All-SEC first team selection. That's pretty interesting. That's the first time I've seen him on any of these first team All-SEC.
It's a nice little pickup for a preseason award.
Marquez Callaway was named both All-SEC fourth team wide receiver and punt returner.
Yep.
Nigel Warrior and Bryce Thompson were tabbed third team selections.
Not bad.
So Thompson, Warrior, Callaway, and Taylor getting some love. So in comparison, Tennessee got 4 guys on the Phil Steele. He does four teams. Bama got 14, Georgia got 9, Missouri got 9.
Sounds about right.
Which is Missouri interesting.
Missouri returned some talent on offense.
South Carolina had 8, Florida had 6, Mississippi State and Kentucky had 6, and Vanderbilt had 3.
I think Tennessee – look, I continue to say this. I think Tennessee secondary could – secondary and wide receiver group would be the biggest factors for Tennessee this year.
Good at the skill positions, man. It's all about the line play, though, isn't it?
Well, yeah.
Like I'm with you. I feel fine about our receivers. Receivers not great, but that's a pretty good group. DBs not great, but that's a solid group. Those are SEC level talent pools you have at those positions. But line of scrimmage league, man.
Line of scrimmage, yeah. You look like, you know, Holy Cross out there.
Can you run the ball? Can you stop the run? What kind of quarterback player are you getting? Those are the kind of things that are going to define the season coming up. That's going to do it. Thank you, Trey. Thank you, Bear. Thank you, Parker Pewitt. Another day, another dollar, another stellar edition of The Drive in the books. Overtime. Coming up next from 6 until 8. We'll do it again tomorrow right here on Fan Run Radio. Barry Switzer maybe on the show tomorrow, chasing him.
Working on it. He was coming back from Sweden.
All right.
Said he's coming on.
Barry.
It's either going to be tomorrow or Thursday. We got him.
We'll do it.
The Drive.